Welcome to the Can Be Now podcast.
We are the best and easiest way to stay connected to what's happening in your hometown. I'm Tyler Frankie.
And I'm Tyler Clausen. Canby's having an open house, and everyone's invited. It's the annual Holiday Tour of Homes, a fundraiser for Friends of the Library and the library's new teen room. Joyce Aries joins us to tell us all about it.
And we'll be diving back into Canby's history as we wrap up our series on the Canby Fire District. What was that boom? We'll tell you right here on the Canby Now podcast. But first, the news. At different times over the years, Canby residents have complained about water that, while safe to drink, smelled and tasted like you'd really rather not. In the coming new year, the U.S. Department of Agriculture has announced it will develop a detailed assessment and strategy to address agricultural impacts on source water quality in the Canby and Malala area. Farm runoff is one of the main factors in the algae blooms that have helped cause Canby's water quality issues in the past. The USDA selected only 16 proposals for this phase of its National Water Quality Initiative, five of them here in Oregon. In addition to Canby and Malala, the communities of Myrtle Point, Baker City, Eugene, and Winston-Dillard were approved for funding. The communities were selected based on a set of screening criteria and resources jointly developed by the USDA along with the Oregon Department of Agriculture and Oregon DEQ, among others. Support for these projects was high from the local watershed representatives, including the county soil and water conservation districts, watershed councils, drinking water utilities, and other local partners. We're very excited about the opportunity to better understand land management impacts on drinking water in the source water protection areas and whether there are ways to bring in resources to help reduce those impacts, says Jason Facera, Conservation Planning Program Manager for the Clackamas Soil and Water Conservation District. The USDA has already begun working with farms, ranchers, and other partners in the participating communities to develop water source protection plans and outreach strategies. Once the assessments are completed, Canby, Malala, and the other participating areas will be eligible to receive federal Farm Bill funding to implement the measures identified in their plans specific to agricultural impacts. Examples of conservation practices that could be implemented include planting trees along streams and waterways to serve as natural buffers, building fences to keep cattle away from drinking water sources, installing off-channel livestock watering facilities, managing fertilizer applications, forest health practices, and more. Canby's drinking water comes from the Malala River through Canby Utility, which contracts with Veolia North America to treat and test the water they collect and ensure its quality and safety for residents and businesses in Canby. Canby Utility prepares an annual water quality report, which you can check out on their website, canbyutility.org.
Although the city of Canby has had a number of townhome developments built over the years, its development code doesn't actually allow for townhomes. Whoops. Due to a small oversight, the code prohibits attached residences with more than one shared wall. In other words, nothing bigger than a duplex is permitted in Canby, according to the letter of the law. However, Planning Director Brian Brown said the prohibition was routinely ignored for years, either because city staff wasn't aware of it, or because it conflicted with other overriding standards, like the minimum density requirements of certain zoning designations. The discrepancy came to light in September, prompting one of the greatest soundbites in history of Canby Planning Commission, courtesy Vice Chair Larry Boatwright.
I think you need to change the damn code. And we've been talking about this. We've had a lot of problems with some of this code. We talked about how many years old it is. Well, here's an example right here where our code's not keeping up with what the city council and the planning department thinks is right. So I say change it, and I will vote no.
It is possible to change the damn code. In fact, it would require changing just a couple words in the existing ordinance. But at the most recent planning meeting, Brown admitted he hadn't yet moved forward with the process, believing the change to be very controversial.
We actually have a solution drafted to that. However, we're convinced that it will be very controversial because our drafting fixes it. As we mentioned, we believe that state statute actually requires us to provide all types of housing. And our the way our code reads right now, it doesn't really allow townhomes in Canby because it says no more than one common wall.
Basically, the concern being that the proposal will be challenged by residents who really do want high-density developments like townhomes to be banned in Canby. Brown said that there are other more routine and far less controversial changes that are also needed in the code, and he recommended that the planning department start there. 8 Canadian geese were unlawfully shot dead and left to rot in a field in Clackamas County, Oregon State Police reported on Monday. OSP Fish and Wildlife Division received the initial report of several geese that had been shot in a field in Happy Valley. When troopers arrived, they found a total of 8 geese, one of which was being in the process of being scavenged by a bald eagle. The remaining 7 were salvaged and taken to Cheyenne Meats and Sausage Co. in Oregon City. After processing, they will be donated to charity. Police are searching for anyone who might have information about the person responsible. The possible suspect vehicle was described as a blue pickup truck, but no make, no model, or license plate was provided. Anyone with information about this unlawful taking and waste is urged to contact the Oregon State Police by calling *OSP or emailing tip@state.or.us. That's tip@state.or.us. Chase Doherty, a professional bull rider from right here in Canby, is in Las Vegas this week as he heads to his first PRCA National Finals Rodeo competition. As if that weren't enough, he's actually checking in ranked 5th overall. Chase is a 3-time Oregon High School bull riding champion and the son of John Doherty, also a professional bull rider. The 20-year-old cowboy joined the PRCA less than 2 years ago and has already qualified for his first finals and earned over $100,000 on the circuit. In a profile of Chase written by Tuff Hedeman, find a link to that on our website, by the way, Chase gives his father credit for his success. "More than anything, he taught me how to be a cowboy. Never quit and have a never-die attitude," Chase says. "Don't let go until you hit the ground. And if you're in a bad spot, just get out of it." He is a 2016 graduate of Canby High School, where he competed in football, wrestling, and the pole vault, which is basically just all rodeo if you break all those things down to their base components. After high school, he was recruited to and joined the rodeo team at Montana State University. The National Finals Rodeo Competition starts today.
Hi, Ray Keene here from the Canby Center. Don't let the Grinch sneak up on you this holiday season. If you think someone is thinking about suicide, assume you are the only one who will reach out. Listen to them. Ask directly, "Are you thinking about suicide?" Stay with them. Help them connect to support such as a doctor, therapist, or emergency room. Call the National Suicide Prevention Hotline at 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255. Start a conversation. It could save a life. Brought to you by the Canby Suicide Prevention Task Force.
All right, so my guest today is Joyce Ayers. She's a member of the board for the Friends of the Canby Public Library and former president there for 4 years when it first started. Is that right?
That's correct.
And also the organizer, or one of the main organizers for the Tour of Homes, which is coming up, happening this weekend. So, Joyce, how are you? Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. Thanks for doing this with us. And we're here at the library, something that you're a friend of, I understand.
So. My favorite place.
Absolutely. So tell me about the Tour of Homes. This is the 5th year?
It is the 5th year, and it is an exciting time. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a very different tour than what we have had in the past.
It's one of the few times where, I mean, you have to pay a little bit, but you're allowed to break and enter into a home without even having the police come after you or anything like that, right? A home that somebody else owns.
Well, so. You don't even have to break. We open the door
oh,
for you.
Oh, there you go. Well, that makes it even easier because I don't have to take my, you know, lock picking tools or anything like that.
Not at all. You don't have to do that at all, but you do have to pull pony up $15 for a ticket.
Oh my gosh. Well, it's cheaper than jail, I guess.
Well, and it's a lot cheaper than a lot of the tour of homes that happen at this time of year in other areas.
So, and this is a fundraiser for the Friends, which obviously benefits all of the events and all the cool things that happen here at the library throughout the year.
That's correct. However, this particular one, which is a tour of historic homes in Canby, is benefiting the completion, we hope, of the teen room.
Okay.
And we are specifically looking to raise enough money to buy the cabinetry that needs to go in the teen room for storage of the events and all they
right,
do
hold
there.
Their headphones and all their skateboards and I don't know what teens do nowadays.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. So what is the tour of homes? Tell me a little more about it.
The tour of homes is, as you said, in our fifth year. We sell tickets for people to be able to come and enjoy five different homes that are decorated for Christmas. It's a combination of enjoying seeing the way somebody else lives and seeing the unique way people have of decorating their homes for the holidays.
For the historical homes, do they set it up a little bit like historical, you know, like as if it were Christmas 50, 100 years ago, or do they set it up just like they normally would?
You have to come Saturday and find out.
There you go, a little intrigue. Okay, well, she's not going to spoil it for us. Thank you, Joyce.
We have a combination of homes that are some quite large and some quite small.
Okay.
They will all do their decorating in their own fashion.
In their own style. You don't tell them how to do it.
We don't tell them what to do. Yeah. They do what they are comfortable with.
Very cool. Yeah. So that'll be cool to see how the different owners, you know, kind of the uniqueness of each homeowner, you know, what they do with it. So
exactly.
And what they put into it rather than just the five cookie cutter kind of things. That,
right.
Yeah. The only thing that's different is what they look like outside. So
we have had homeowners who decorate way over the top.
Oh, okay.
And
Clark
we have
Griswold style.
Yeah. Well, it's we yeah.
Uh-huh.
It is a wonderful mix. We have some that are very modest,
more reserved,
and everything in between.
Yeah. Cool.
We've had animals stuffed in the. In bathtubs,
sure.
We've had animals stuffed up on the walls,
you know.
But we've had beautiful decorations. Mm-hmm. We've had antique decorations. It's all really quite lovely, very different, and fun.
Yeah.
Fun to see how other people live and how they decorate.
For sure, for sure. So 5 years ago, when you were first starting this, what was the idea behind it? What made you think that this would be a good thing to try for a fundraiser? Was it seeing other communities do it, or was it something specific about Canby that you thought would be a good idea to try something like this?
We were looking for something that would help us do all of the things that needed to be done in this new library.
Mm-hmm.
The library wasn't built at that time.
Right,
we were still looking to
you
get
had
the thing built.
Some pretty drawings of it, right?
Right.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But we knew that we needed to have money to help get things done.
Yeah.
And we were looking at what we can do to help in that effort of raising funds.
Yeah.
And there was nothing like this in Canby.
Mm-hmm.
I've done a number of tours of homes in other neighborhoods and thought, what a wonderful idea. I'm sure people would enjoy it.
Yeah.
And then was the very scary prospect of going and first of all, getting the five homes. Mine
right.
was one of those on the first tour.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, oh, God, no. Who's going to come?
Who else? Yeah. So, oh, right. You have the people on board, and now you have to see if people will actually show up.
Yeah. And that was the scary part is to see how many people are going to show up, because how many people show up means how many tickets are
sold. And then
sold.
Once they get there, how do you make them leave, right? Like, no, I'm just kidding.
Well,
okay,
only occasionally.
Okay. Now get out of my house. You've been here for hours. Okay. No, I'm just kidding.
Actually, that's not been a problem,
an issue.
But sometimes people are so stricken by how beautifully they something is done. Yeah. They do spend, you can tell when they walk so quietly and stop that they are truly deeply enjoying
what they're seeing. So you haven't caught like people taking naps upstairs or like hours after? Not yet? No. Maybe this will be the year. We'll see.
That's a naughty idea.
Should I delete that part?
Anyway, it's no, we haven't had a problem with people staying too long. We haven't had problems with any abuse of the privilege of coming into somebody's home.
Yeah, good. And I'm just joking. I wouldn't expect that here in Canby. Yeah. So, cool. So what are some of the... can you talk about some of the cool things that you've heard from people that have been part of this? That, you know, maybe even especially the first year where they really weren't sure what to expect. This was maybe their first time going through a tour of home. Some of the feedback that you've gotten from people, because obviously you've been, done this 5 years now, you must have gotten some good responses.
Well, I'll tell you, the best responses have come from the husbands, homeowners.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Husband homeowners who, when they first find out, they're just not real excited about having their home open. And they'll say, okay,
you hey, wait, we're doing what now?
Yeah, you do what you want. I'll stay out in my...
Right, I'll be upstairs watching football. Uh-huh.
But we've had husbands... I had one husband who was going to stay out in his working shop during the whole thing. He, a few minutes into the tour, he came inside to pick something up, saw somebody he knew, and started to chat.
Yeah.
He never went back out to his shop.
Yeah, that project as of today is still not finished. So.
Right, and he caught me a couple of weeks later, and he said, I had so much fun doing that. I want our house to be on tour again next year.
Oh, cool. Do you have a lot of repeat people, or is it pretty new each year as far as the homeowners?
It's new each year. We have had one repeat, but again, she was so excited about it. She said, I want my house on again.
Yeah.
So that's fun.
Yeah.
That we know people are encouraged, that it's a fun day, and it's a good fundraiser for the friends.
How do you pick the homes?
I see a house that I like or somebody that I know whose home I've been in.
Yeah.
And I go up and say...
And ask them.
Can we come in your house for the Christmas tour?
Can I come in with about 300 of my friends?
Well, I wish it was 300. But, we've just had really wonderful response. Mm. And this year, because of the historic homes, it's been very different.
Yeah.
To go up to somebody and say... I don't know you, but your house is really cool from the outside. Yeah. Can we invite, 150 people to come in? So that's been rather interesting. But we've had very gracious homeowners that say, I'll do that for the library.
Well, Canby people love history. Obviously, we do a history segment on our show that people seem to really like. Will that be a very big piece of it? Do maybe the homeowners know some of the history of their homes that they'll be able to share and things
absolutely.
Of that nature?
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. And
we're not going to talk about that now, I should say, just because we don't want to put out there, because of privacy issues, who's involved.
Right.
That's why we're not doing that. But that, if you take part, you'll be able to check that out. So.
Exactly. And each homeowner has... quite a bit of history, actually, on their homes.
I'm not surprised by that. Yeah, you would think,
Well, and there's one of the homes especially that is just, the amount of history they have is just incredible.
That's awesome.
But we are supplying a one-page sheet of a very brief description of the age of the homes. Mm-hmm. The oldest property that we have, I believe, was built in 1873, was the date on that.
Wow.
And the newest one,
I
believe, was 1910 or 12, something like that.
Pretty new.
It's one of those
Hintofty Farms, one of those new homes. And you guys have actually, this summer, you expanded the Tour of Homes into a...
We did. A kind of
summer-themed take on the Tour of Homes, a little bit more outdoors.
Right, and this year we had our first ever, the Great Backyard and Patio Tour.
Yeah.
And it happened to be on one of the hottest days of the summer. But...
You don't know what the forecast is going to be when you start planning
these things. That's true. When you have to plan months in advance.
For sure, for sure. Maybe you should do a pool tour next summer.
Do you have one?
I wish.
Well, the Great Backyard Patio Tour was wonderful in that people really liked being able to come and see how other people live in their backyards. Mm. And by that, I mean, it's not just, you know, unlike a patio with a chair.
Unlike the homes, maybe to a certain extent the homes, but it's not going to be as sort of instructive or like, oh, that's a good idea, I want to do that at my home, as you might from seeing someone's backyard. You could take some of those cues a little bit easier, like, oh, I like that plant, or I like how he, you know, laid this out, or what have you. So
you didn't see all of the homes we had.
yeah maybe not. So
we had wonderful ideas for living in your backyard.
Yeah
and they were from how do you put in a gazebo that is livable, you know, that works easily. How do you separate different areas of your yard for different kinds of living? How do you put in a kitchen in your backyard? Or how do you put in a massive pond or a massive waterfall, you know? How do you put in a Japanese garden?
How do you put a waterfall
garden
in your kitchen? That's one thing I don't know. Well, okay, well, now you got me interested. So how do we find tickets? Can we still find tickets at this point with it happening in a few days?
Only if you hurry up.
Okay.
At the library
and
at Cutsforth Thriftway.
Okay.
And we might be able to have a few tickets, if we have any left, at the homes on the day of the tour.
Okay.
There will be... each of the tickets has the addresses listed on them.
Okay. So that's how you find where to go.
Right. Yeah. But there's also a sign in front of each of the five homes that says this home is open.
Okay.
And there will be directional signs out also.
So it sounds like definitely go to the library or Thriftway, unless you want to do a little bit of a scavenger hunt on Saturday. But see if they have any tickets left and check out the Tour of Homes. Thanks so much, Joyce. Anything to add or...
We want them all to come and visit us.
Yeah, come check it out. Thanks so much, Joyce. Really appreciate having you on.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I'm conflicted. Almost as if there are two people in my brain. One of them is who I should be and what I generally want to be, and the other person is someone who likes Venom. You see, it's not that part of me hates Venom, the new movie from Sony Marvel with Tom Hardy playing Eddie Brock and telling the origin story of how he obtained the symbiote from whom the movie is named. No. There is no part of me that hates this movie. It's really that part of me that hates it so much. It's the fact that I feel no shame for how much joy this movie brought me. Venom is a movie based off the Spider-Man storyline of comic books, and there's just so many things I could start writing about to go off on some comic nerd tangents, so I'll just stick with this. Venom is a bad guy, or at least he used to be, in the comics at least, and recently in the comics, he's become a good guy. And Marvel really likes the way that this sells, and Sony's studio really likes to hold on to whatever Marvel sells, so... Sony and Marvel make an agreement that Marvel gets to make a Venom story, but only if he's a good guy, kind of. And that's the main reason why I didn't want to like this movie so much. I don't want to support a company who has the rights to creative material for a character that they don't understand. I hate the idea of giving people more money for something that I know that I could do better. I mean, that they could do better. But let's go through the very simple formulaic story of Venom. Spacecraft comes from space. Bad things come out of it. Government cleans it up, forgetting one of the bad guys. The ooze that's been caged is transferred to a science-y place, and we see them do bad stuff with it. Think any generic bad guy scientist, and you just thought of what these guys do. Then we jump over to Eddie Brock, played by Tom Hardy, and I'll say this, he does a good job of playing... Tom Hardy in a Marvel movie. Not for one second did I think, oh, that's so Eddie Brock. Mostly because there's no such thing as being so Eddie Brock. Eddie Brock is a side character. He's a humanizing element to a glob of black goo. So to see Tom Hardy play a side character that I like, who leads well, was surprising. We follow him as he ruins his career, then sneaks back into the place where he first ruined his career and also lost his fiancée, and releases the Venom goop. We then go through a short, very short period of adjustment, and go right into the meat and potatoes of a superhero movie third act. The thing that gave the guy superpowers has led to another person having superpowers, and they must fight or else something bad happens, blah, 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 blah. Okay, if it seems like I'm being harsh, just understand that it's because I don't want to like this movie. But I do. The relationship between Brock and Venom is wonderful, it's funny, and it has the beginnings of something that could be life-changing for both of them. The fight scenes were interesting and kept me intrigued, as well the visual effects were pretty good. I have learned that I like simple things from Marvel and Sony, and if they don't go out of their way to hurt the fans, then I usually walk away pretty happy. I could go on about plot holes and inconsistencies and, well, it's some lazy writing, which is all there. But then I couldn't talk about the part where Venom and he takes over Brock's girlfriend and then, like, finds Eddie and then he makes them make out. But then in that time, Venom falls in love with them. And it's like, why would I skip out on talking about that? That's the coolest part.
Hey, Tyler.
Hey, how's it going, Tyler? Frankie.
It's going great, man. How are you?
Good. I've been having to explain that to people a lot lately.
Yeah, I have to explain it a lot, too. Wait, you want to hear my joke?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay, so my joke is, yeah, I go by Frankie because I don't like anybody to be able to say they're on a first-name basis with me. Gets a laugh, like, pretty good percentage
like
of the time.
Like a quarter of the time?
No, like a pretty good percentage, like 30% of the time.
Okay, so we're doing Soapbox.
Soapbox!
Which means you've got something to talk to me about.
It means I've got stuff to talk about. So, Joyce Ayers was on the show today.
I just finished editing that.
Yeah, she is a sweet lady. So she was with the Friends of the Public Library, and she's talking about this fundraiser that they do, and they do a number of different like fundraisers like that and things that raise money that support the library and benefit the people that...
Yeah.
So would you say that they are friends with benefits?
You're on it today. You're just so excited. Was that spur of the moment? Did you have that written down?
I was like so on the cusp of saying it to Joyce, but I just didn't have the courage. Yeah. That's probably a good idea, right?
I don't think she would have liked that.
No, I don't think she would have liked it either. She's... Yeah.
So do you have feedback for me, or what's going on? Do we get to...
Yeah. Well, first I wanted to ask you...
No email, by the way. Nobody's emailed me.
I'm sorry. Is that why you're... we'll talk about this.
Yeah, we can talk about it later.
Yeah. Christmas is coming.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm really excited. There's lots of Christmassy things going on.
Sure. You got trees attached to the roof of your van. Or they're gone now, right?
They're gone now. Yeah, got a tree set up. Nice. One for me and one for my daughter up in her room. Had to get one for my mother-in-law and also another relative. And
For the guy that lives in your basement and makes all of your podcast dreams come true.
I know. But they always complain. Like, no matter what I get, like, it's never big enough. Or, like, this time it was like... I really like nobles, you know, it's like,
who cares?
I got a Douglas fir. I think they're really pretty, but I guess the branches are a lot weaker, so we'll have to deal with that. You done any Christmassy stuff?
No, none at all. I didn't get to celebrate Halloween. I'm not in the Christmas mood because of that.
Oh, that just set you, that threw off your whole year.
Pretty much. If I don't get to celebrate Halloween better, like I got to do the podcast. I got to do that episode, which was good.
Like the best Halloween ever.
And then I had to work like 10 hours on Halloween day.
Yeah.
And I was like, even by the time I was off of work, I was like, this is dumb. I'm done.
I just want to go sleep.
Yeah, pretty much. And I had to go to work the next day. So it wasn't like I got to really celebrate. So that really messes with me. And so then Thanksgiving was good. Ate a lot, slept. So I guess if I get sleep, then I'm celebrating.
Yeah.
So I look forward to the sleep I get on Christmas.
Yeah. So it's just like hibernation, like
pretty much
you celebrate Christmas like a bear does.
Yes.
Well, this past weekend we went to see Santa at Gwen's.
Right. I was actually hanging out at Gwen's when they were setting up the whole thing. And it
Earlier that day.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had quite the setup. It was really cool.
I had a very Camby day that day. Uh-huh. I went to Teen Spirit and got our new sweaters.
Which we're wearing. Which we're wearing. What are you guys seeing? Oh, wait, they can't see
it. Yeah, they can't see it. Okay. And then I went and helped set up the snowman, which we're going to talk about in a minute. And then I went and talked to Megan at the Book Nook.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went and did some graphic design at Gwen's coffee for the t-shirt place while I watched them set up the Santa thing.
That's the same day that you helped set up our snowman.
Yep, yeah? That was okay. The same day.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool, man.
Yeah. So it was crazy, like crazy packed, like standing room only.
Yeah.
People were waiting for Santa. He was like a half hour late.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I want you to see if you can guess why. He forgot something. I can give you options if you want.
Yeah, let's do A, B, C.
Okay, so Santa was late to Gwen's Coffee House because he forgot A, his hat.
Okay.
B, his keys.
Uh-huh.
Or C, his pants.
All right. Right now, some Do You Want to Be a Millionaire music is playing.
Right. Let's just add that in.
And I'm not going to ramble on about random things like they do on the show. Yeah. I'm going to go with keys.
Keys?
Yeah.
That would be a reasonable thing.
He forgot
his pants.
What do you mean he forgot his pants? How do you be Santa and lose your pants?
You'd have to ask him. So, like, you know, Mallory comes out and he's like, hey, guys, sorry, Santa's late. He forgot his pants. And everyone's like, ha ha, Mallory, good one. He's like, no, I'm serious.
No, but seriously, if you can find, look around, everybody look under your seats right. for a pair of very large red pants.
I assume that he was wearing normal clothes because he's not really Santa.
Hey, we've got young listeners. Don't say stuff
like
that. I
don't think we have listeners that young. If we do, I'm sorry.
Please write in. I will be your Santa. You can write Santa at tyler@campingnowpod.com.
So we've all been there, right? Yeah, somebody email him so he'll get off that.
Email me your Christmas list. I'm not going to do anything
desperate.
With it. Yeah, I just want to see people.
At this point, you're like encouraging people to like scam you. Like you're like you're reaching out to the Nigerian princes and being like, hey,
please let me help you.
Do you need anything? Please just let me know.
Oh, man.
But we've all been there, right? Forget something.
Sure.
Yeah. Even
not my pants.
Even happens to Santa. Santa's a normal guy.
Yeah. So we set up the snowman.
We did.
Yeah.
I have another Christmas story first.
Oh, really?
Yes. Have you ever done a murder mystery?
No,
one of those
I haven't.
Things?
I haven't.
Would
I want
you ever
to.
Want to?
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I would.
I did my first one. It was a Christmas party themed around a murder mystery thing.
Okay.
And I was so excited because I've always wanted to do one.
Yeah.
And I get really competitive with this type
no
of
way.
Stuff. Yeah, right. Like, so surprising. So I was like, I'm definitely going to figure this out. Like, there's no way that they can outsmart me. And it was a group thing. So it's me and my wife and the Watermans, actually, from the Book Nook.
Okay. Yeah.
And they're, like, super competitive and super nerdy, too. So,
sounds
like,
right.
we were, like, the dream team for this.
Yeah.
We had this person, and it's just, like, normal people that are part of the party are the suspects.
Okay.
They're just assigned. And no one knows who – they don't know that they did it or that they might have done it. They just have information that, like, are clues.
All right.
Okay.
I feel like the killer was me.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. But no one knows if they are the killer. They can just suspect themselves. But what you're looking for is the person has motive and the person has opportunity, you know, access to the murder weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And there was someone that we suspected, okay,
right.
like very strongly. All four of us strongly suspected this person. But we couldn't figure out their motive.
Right.
Okay. And we were like even asking like, did you have some kind of connection to the victim? Did you have any reason that you might want them dead? You know? And they're just like, I don't know, you know, no.
I just turns came out, to this party to eat.
Turns out it was them. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
But we didn't go with them because we didn't have their motive. So
right.
we went with someone else and we were wrong.
Yeah.
And then she had a motive. She just didn't tell us.
What?
Yeah.
She cheated.
So we're over there. Like, I'm talking to the guy after, you know, who did the thing and just, like, hanging out, having fun.
Right.
She comes over, and the guy's like, hey, this is like nobody knew your motive. Like, this backstory with the blackmail did, like, nobody asked? And she's like, no, nobody asked. And I was
Yeah, like, I can not see only, it in your eyes right now.
I know,
still,
the anger, the bitterness. Not like, only are you a murderer, you are also a liar, madam.
Might be worse than murder. You're lying.
I'm just
at
kidding.
A Christmas party.
It was really fun. And yeah. We probably just didn't ask good enough questions.
Of course.
But it was fun. And
that's cool, man.
I'm only slightly bitter that I didn't get the...
Yeah, I don't get invited to stuff anymore.
Yeah?
Because I sleep all the time.
Somebody email Tyler and invite him to something Christmassy. He's bumming me out over here. So
normally I'm the one who's all like, ah, jolly fun times. Let's right. not talk about politics.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, whatever. Let's go sleep through Christmas.
So yeah, you're just like pushing this segment through. Like you keep like, hey, how about feedback? Hey, how about okay, Tyler, tell us about the snowman thing.
I'm so excited about the snowman. I got to go stand out in the rain.
It's like the rainiest day.
And I didn't have a jacket at all. It was really bad. But no, we got to set up a snowman. If you go to our Instagram, you can see pictures of, what did we name him?
Doug.
Because he's next
Christmas
to
Christmas trees. Yeah.
Yeah, he's next to the lions, Douglas firs or something. So that's...
They're probably nobles. They're probably the right kind.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we're right... Like, you can see Gwen's from where our snowman is. You can see
down at the
Driftway.
Other end of the block. We're right across from Wells Fargo and right across from the Dahlia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're in the best spot.
It's a good traffic spot. It's not a good pedestrian spot.
What I didn't get is, so this is a competition, and I don't get it. Like, you just said, let's make a snowman, and I'm like, frozen. Yes, let's do it.
And I sang the song.
You sang the whole song.
Yeah.
Like, you came down to my basement door and sang the whole song.
I did it through the door, like the movie.
You wouldn't even let me open the door. Snowman. Like, no, and you close it.
Yeah.
It's a contest, though. What's the contest about?
Okay, so the contest is that, and it starts tomorrow when people are listening to this. It starts Friday.
Sweet.
And what you do, all you do, is you take a selfie of yourself with your favorite snowman, which is obviously ours, on the corner of 2nd and
There's no other snowman out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's the only one.
By the way, that's
so.
My lying voice.
But take a picture with your favorite snowman, or multiple ones, and just post it on Facebook with the hashtag #CanBeSnowman.
Snowman.
Not men.
Not men.
Not men.
It's raining, man.
Man. Hallelujah. So, yeah, and that's it. And then you are entered to win a $50 Visa gift card.
They are.
Yes, they are.
What do we get if we win?
I think, I don't know.
We don't win.
I don't think we win anything.
We just win.
Yeah, we get to tell the Canby Fire District that, you know, we beat them because we're in a competition with them.
We are, because they took our Gwen's coffee spot.
Well, and they're just like talking big game about
how
they're the best.
Big
game. They came in second with the Scarecrow, so now they're saying they're going to win.
They think they're the best.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we're the new kids on the block, and we got to prove ourselves.
Yeah.
So
please go take a picture of our snowman. It has a pun on his shirt, which is super cool.
It is super cool. We're not going to say what it is.
It'll be a surprise, and just guess which one of us came up with it.
Yes.
So you'll never guess.
The guy that maybe opened this segment with
like
the pun.
30 puns. Yeah. A huge, huge shout out to Hot Rod Dreamworks, Shannon there, who set that up, and Sarah Spoon with Victory Property Group, Victory Point Property Group, who
and
is co-sponsoring.
Calvin.
And Calvin, who helped set with the Canby business,
I want to give Calvin
the set
props, mostly so he listens to our show.
Right. But it's specifically Hot Rod and Victory Point that are putting this on. Did a ton of work. Shannon was out there helping us set up and has helped set up a bunch of them.
Yeah.
It looks amazing, and it's super fun to be part of, and I'm sure it's a lot of work to put on. So thanks so much for doing all that. You want to hear some feedback?
Yes.
Okay.
That's why I'm shaking my finger at you.
I've got a couple. No one can see that. Okay, we got a new iTunes review.
Oh,
from
yeah.
Lawn Guys. They say they or he.
This is my favorite thing ever.
Great podcast. Love the soapbox and police beat.
What did they say? They didn't say soapbox.
I will not mock one of our...
We're not mocking them. It's great. We both love it. They said soup box.
They accidentally said soup box, which is actually awesome.
You don't know.
I might
that they
change
meant
the name of
accidentally.
This.
Accidentally.
I might change the name to soup box. I love that so much.
They might have meant soup box.
Yeah.
We love soup box.
Yeah.
And we love
this podcast.
The podcast.
Yeah.
We like to sit down, eat soup, and listen to the podcast.
I can't blame them. That sounds like a great afternoon there.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah. Depending on what kind of soup they're having. What kind of soup would you pair
chicken
this podcast
gnocchi.
With?
Chicken gnocchi.
I don't think that's how you
From
pronounce that.
Gnocchi? Gnocchi.
I think it's
chicken gnocchi from Olive Garden.
Yeah.
That one.
I would do like a thick beef stew, I think.
You tell us what kind of soup you would eat while, or take a picture of yourself eating soup while listening to our show.
Yeah, that'd be great. Okay, and then this was just a comment on one of our articles on Facebook, but John Mayer, he said...
Did you say John Mayer?
Yeah, John Mayer, the singer.
Oh, there. All right.
Yeah, it's a band. Thanks, John, for listening. John Mayer, I believe is how it's pronounced.
Got it.
He just would like to say how much he appreciates the information you let us all know about. Thanks. So,
nice.
Yeah, it's just, you know, that's what we're about, getting the news out there. And we don't, like, wait until the podcast comes out to put the news out there, because we don't care. We're trying to build that trust. And,
you know,
we're not just going to sit on something that we know. Like, if we know something, we want you guys to know about it, too. So,
yes.
We do hope that you listen to this, because this is how we hope to eventually make money, but we're not going to sell you our news. Our news is free. So
the news is
the
free.
News. The information is free. That's what we believe.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I'm just going to blast through some upcoming events, because there's so much going on this weekend.
All right.
Okay. So tomorrow, Friday, is Light Up the Night.
Yeah.
Starts at about 6 is when the parade's going to start. And then if you just want to check out the tree lighting and park lighting and everything, that'll be around 6:30.
And that's at Waite Park, right?
Yeah, at Waite Park. Yeah, Santa will be there. Santa! Hopefully he will have his pants.
I know it.
He should bring an extra just wherever he goes, just in case. Like, that's just a good idea at the age that he's getting to. On Saturday, the 8th, there's just a ton going on. So Baker's Prairie, the new bakery, is having their grand opening that day, just the whole day. Operation Snuggle is happening. Have you ever heard of that?
At Baker's Prairie?
It's at Baker Prairie Middle School.
Oh.
They make blankets for homeless kids in the school district.
I just really like, real quick, you said Operation Snuggle, and then my wife walked in the room.
Snuggling a cat.
Snuggling her cat.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was great.
Yeah.
A little distracted, but it sounds like it'll be fun to be at Baker Prairie Snuggling.
Middle school at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
Help make some blankets for homeless kids.
That actually sounds really cool.
It is really cool.
I didn't mean to take away the power of what that actually is.
No, that's just really everything's cool. Better with cats.
Yeah.
So Christmas Tour of Homes, you may have heard like a few minutes ago.
Recorded that thing.
Is also happening that day. The Book Nook is having an author's visit at 11:30.
Ooh.
And then that night, which you also may have heard on this podcast, Christmas at the Grove from 5 to 10 p.m. So,
I want to hear some country music.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Have you decided if you're going to come yet?
I'm not in the Christmas mood. But
I've invited Tyler,
we'll
and he may leave me
hanging.
You
know what? So. Here's the deal. If I get one email from someone saying that
you
I should go.
You could have based it on the email. Why don't you just base it off of my asking you?
I mean,
we can wear our new sweatshirts. That'd be great. Aaron Crawford from the stage will be like, hey, Can't Be Now Podcast.
Please,
I love you guys. Everyone should listen.
Look at your hats.
Yeah. Your huge hats. I think that's it.
Yeah.
If I'm missing something, I'm sorry, guys. But yeah, a lot going on. Go to our calendar, canbenowpod.com/calendar, and you can submit events on there as well. Thanks for listening to Soapbox. We're going to kick it over to
History.
Can Be Then. Finally back.
Yeah. We begin the fourth and final part of our look at Canby's fire history on September 16th, 1960. Firefighters responded to an early morning fire that day at Dr. A.G. McDonald's dental office at 121 North Grant Street in downtown Canby. Dr. McDonald lived in an apartment above the clinic, and that's where the fire actually began. The blaze spread quickly, destroying his bed furniture and most of his personal effects and all of his clothing. Fortunately, dentist lived in a time where there were such things as bedclothes, and he was wearing them. Also, fortunately, none of the dental equipment was damaged by the fire. So for some of our older listeners, if you were wondering why that your dentist showed up for your appointment wearing his pajamas that one time, hopefully this explains things. One morning, there was a loud boom that was heard all over Canby. I know what you're thinking. Yeah, hey, I've heard that too, but no. This was back on September 3rd, 1982, and this actually happened. It happened at about 9:45 in the morning, and was caused by a lightning strike which exploded a large fir tree, and that was the boom, and also killed an extremely valuable broodmare.
The horse, Wild Clarion, was owned by Elwood and Alice Pace and was valued at $20,000. The horse survived the initial strike, though Mike Harms, the veterinarian who examined her, said she had a single streak of hair where the lightning had entered her, as well as several exit wounds. "I don't see how she's still alive," Harms told the Canby Herald at the time. Sadly, the horse was suffering internal bleeding from the incident and eventually had to be put to sleep. One of the last daughters of the 1967 Kentucky Derby winner Proud Clarion, Wild Clarion, had enjoyed some success racing in Portland Meadows before a scandal apparently prompted her retirement to Canby. In 1980, she had to forfeit a $1,600 purse she had won after your analysis showed a medication prohibited in two-year-olds. Her trainer, Ron Medeiros, had also been ordered to pay a $200 fine. Crazily, another lightning bolt exploded another fir tree on Holly Street later that same day, raining smoke debris on the home of Al Ehrenfeld. One large chunk of wood put a hole through Al's living room ceiling. "The strike knocked me goofy, like getting hit in the head with a baseball bat," he later said. The strike also caused a small power outage, blew out several of Ehrenfeld's windows and all his electrical fuses, and rained debris into his car. So maybe this explains the booms? Speaking of explosions, one caused by a natural gas leak ripped apart a Canby restaurant called Golden Garden in the early morning hours of December 17, 1984. The restaurant, located at 206 Southeast 1st, had just opened for business a few months earlier. It had previously been a restaurant called the Honey Bear, and before that, an A&W. The explosion tore off the rear section of the Gold Garden and littered the nearby railroad tracks with debris. The owner, Veen Tran, estimated the damage at $90,000. The blast was reportedly heard from as far away as Barlow, about 2 miles to the south. Brad Baker, a dispatching supervisor, said he heard the explosion in his home, about a mile and a half from the blast site. "Anybody who was awake at that time would have heard it," Baker told the Oregonian. On November 7, 1987, a fire broke out at a shed at Maple Park Street owned by Canby Kids, a youth sports club that was sponsored by the city at the time. Today it remains active in town as a nonprofit organization. Anyway, the shed was used to store sports uniforms and other equipment, and within minutes, it was fully involved. It took a dozen firefighters to bring it under control, and though no one was harmed, it was estimated that over 200 football jerseys were lost in the blaze. Total damage in excess of $20,000 was reported. Arson, firefighters quickly determined, finding evidence of a liquid accelerant. They believed the suspect had been using a wooden plank as a battering ram to gain access to the facility while setting it alight. A week later, a 17-year-old high school student was charged in juvenile court in connection with the fire. Detectives refused to release his name, but said he would be charged with the equivalent of second-degree burglary and second-degree arson. Our final story takes us all the way back to 2005. On June 16th of that year, 40 to 50 people were gathered for a meeting at Canby Alliance Church at 900 North Juniper Street when a fire broke out. The building was quickly evacuated, but Pastor Tim Barton and two other congregation members lingered in search of an unaccounted for teen. Barton went to the offices and called 911 before becoming trapped and disoriented in the thick black smoke. "It was dark," he recalled, "but I could feel the heat and the pressure. So I dropped the phone, got to my knees, and tried to crawl out of there." He managed to find an exit door, but he didn't crawl out. He was blown out. The intense pressure of the blaze blew Barton an estimated 20 feet across the parking lot. Fortunately, he sustained only minor injuries, scratches, and bruises. According to the newspaper reports, the fire was started by a 16-year-old boy with developmental disabilities who was playing with a candle and some paper in a storeroom. The teen was not charged with the case due to a lack of evidence. The fire caused an estimated $750,000 in damage. Canby Alliance Church was later rebuilt at the same location, bigger and better than ever. Tim Barton is still the pastor. Several large beams were salvaged from the wreckage of the old church. They were fashioned into a cross that forms one of the decorative centerpieces of the new church's sanctuary today. That concludes our look at some of the most interesting and colorful moments from history in Canby Fire District. We have many, many more stories to tell you, but it'll have to wait till next time on Canby That. and that's our show. Special thanks to our guests today, Joyce Aries and the Friends of the Canby Public Library. Hey, if you like what you just heard, please let us know. Write a review for us on Facebook, iTunes, or your favorite podcast app. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss our latest episodes.
Next week, we're going Hollywood, or at least into the woods, as we catch up with Embry Johnson, a local teen who has starred in several independent films, including Prodigy, which just came out this week. We'll ask him how he balances school, his career, and saving the world from aliens and corrupt government organizations.
If you have a news tip, an idea for a guest we should invite on the program, or, hey, even suggestions of how we can improve, you can do that, please contact us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CanbyNow, or on our website, canbynowpod.com.